The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Welcome. Good morning. Welcome to St. Timothy. I'm having to think beforehand as we begin our service with the Nativity of our Lord, other than tonight, or today, this morning. We are celebrating the Lord's Supper, and that's a great gift for us, especially as we remember Christ's birth as he comes in the flesh and the incarnation. So, with that, let's begin with our service. As you're able, please stand. God of grace,
we confess before you that we have wandered from your presence to seek the false security of other gods around us. We often look for you in strongholds of power and wealth and do not see your presence among the ordinary places of our world. Forgive us, O Lord, redirect and transform us towards service that fulfilled your desire for us. Amen.
You are my children, I am your Savior, says our God. God who has redeemed us, who lifts us up and carries us all our days, in mercy and loving kindness, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word made flesh and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We continue with the psalm and speak responsibly. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?
The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying,
let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us.
He who sits in the head of his class, the Lord holds them in derision.
Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying,
as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill.
I will tell of the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you.
Ask of me, and I will name the nations your heritage, and in the ends of the earth your possession.
You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel.
Now therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth.
Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We sing. Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated. Our Old Testament reading for Christmas Day comes from Isaiah chapter 52. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news, who publishes peace, who bring the news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. The voice of your watchmen, they lift up their voice. Together they sing for joy, for eye to eye they see the return of the Lord to Zion. Break forth together into singing, you waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord has comforted his people, he has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has bared his holy arm before the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our epistle reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him as father, and he shall be to me as son"? And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." Of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels winds, and his ministers a flame of fire." But of the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundations of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but yours will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your ears will have no end." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Alleluia verse. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We continue with our hymn. Please be seated.
Thank you. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm not sure where I read it, but they say, they being something I read, when you dream, apparently when you dream, you see strangers or other people in your dreams that you don't recognize, right? Occasionally you see those people that are in the background, perhaps. But they say that they're not just faces that we made up in our heads, but the faces of the other people in our dreams that we might encounter or see are actually real people's faces we have seen before. Whether in passing at the coffee shop or at the grocery store, at work, or any other place that we just might run into people, apparently our subconscious actually uses these interactions during the day to put faces to the people in our dreams. I don't know how true it is, but to me, this tells me that faces make an important influence on our mind. Even thinkers like this French guy that I know about, but this guy named Emmanuel Levinas, he believed that the encounter between faces is something we don't completely understand, because his whole philosophy revolved around this concept of face-to-face interactions, and particularly the relationship created within it. He would say that when people are in close encounters with one another, face-to-face, they are more ethically responsible for the other. And you probably felt it yourself. Why is it easier to be mad and to chew someone out when you're not even looking at them or over the phone or through a message? But when you actually have to encounter them face-to-face, it seems like it's really hard to try to yell or to make an assertion, but you actually change your behavior when you're confronted by them. And so what he means is that there's a sense of responsibility to one another that changes what we think about another person and how we might act towards them. And our whole attitude is seen in this face-to-face interaction. Looking to the face of another human being changes and it invites us into giving up on our own preconceived notions. In a manner of speaking, we start to humanize them. They become more than just mere objects, but actual people with hurts, desires, loves, people they care for, people who care for them. This is the very reality that we experience this Christmas morning. The Son of God himself shows his face to us in the person of Jesus Christ. The mask of God is removed and the Son of God meets us face to face. Now the face of God, which was only thought of in dreams in the Old Testament people, thought of as only the word of promise from God, reveals himself in the form of a baby Jesus, born to Joseph and Mary. And today we remember the birth of our Savior who revealed the face of God to us, who, like a light in the darkness, revealed God's purposes for his creation and for you. As Hebrews reminds us in our readings today, God used to speak to us by our fathers, by the prophets, but now in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. He has shown us his face, the face of love and care for this creation, for you. And it's through these circumstances, through his life and work on earth, that this child will gather together his church and build up even the church today. Yet sometimes in our daily lives, God's face does not always seem so apparent. For God seems to show us different sides. Sometimes God is just hidden behind a mask, behind the circumstances and experiences of our lives in the creation, and he often shows it through judgment. Here God is ridding the sin in the world and condemning individuals of the sinful lives, the rebellion they have toward God. And as you know, when you mask your face, it's hard to tell what people's attitudes are towards you. Often they just look like a glare. And even now, you and I struggle because we both know how much communication occurs with our face. That's why things like Zoom or FaceTime make communicating with our families during this time bearable. Because it's when the masks are removed that we're able to tell people's true attitudes towards us. In Jesus Christ, God takes off the mask, and we see the face of God who comes to you in love, grace, and forgiveness. Jesus Christ, who sat with sinners, tax collectors, and prostitutes in mercy and in love. Jesus came to people in order that you might receive the face of God. Jesus Christ is the face of God that shines favorably and even delights in you this Christmas morning. Jesus comes and he takes a hold of your hand and he places himself in there, lays himself down for you, and rises for you. And then you become the face of God to the world around you to show that God cares and loves for the people in his creation. It's in that person of the face of God, it's in that presence that Christ, the true attitude of God, is revealed to you and me. To sinners and all who live in darkness, who are deceived by various masks, the face of God takes a hold of each and all of our lives, and it changes our attitudes. God, out of his love and care, has claimed you, and he has turned his face toward you in delight and in love, and he makes you into the holy people that you are, and he sets you apart. The last book that C.S. Lewis ever wrote, I know, C.S. Lewis, was a book called Till We Have Faces. It's a really great book, but it's not a book I would recommend if you think it's like The Chronicles of Narnia, because this one runs a little deeper, and it might get a little confusing. He wrote the book because there was a Greek mythological story about Psyche and Cupid. I think that's Psyche or Cupid. And that's always troubled him. And so he thought he'd write this book from the perspective of Psyche's older sister. And the older sister is far more jaded and far more rough around the edges. And the story deals with this older sister trying to save her younger sister from the gods and bring her back under her care. But everything goes wrong, and she hates the gods for the circumstances that they put her and her sister in to tear them apart. I don't want to go too deep into what the whole story is about, but there's this line where Lewis got the title of the book. And it's towards the end when the older, uglier sister makes a realization about the gods. And she says, "How can the gods meet us face to face till we have faces?" She realizes that she was wrong the whole time about the work of the gods, and saw that if only she had removed her own mask and met the gods face to face, then all the troubles and tribulation that she and her sister went through would have been properly understood. She realized that she was wrong and the gods were right. Aside from the obvious, what masks do you need to leave behind this Christmas morning? If we think back to that French guy I spoke about, and if he's right about anything, being in the very presence of someone face to face, our attitudes begin to change. The face and presence of God goes so far beyond anything we actually experience in this life that it actually changes your life. It unsettles your thinking as he welcomes people who we might not think deserve to see the face of God. But other than just the masks we have to wear, we wear a different kind of mask too. We hide, trying to show a side of ourselves that's not honest or genuine. How are we as the church to be the face of God to others if we hide the face of God that has been given to us. The truth is, we never deserve to see and receive the face of God revealed in Jesus Christ. However, God does what he wants, and he decided to turn his face towards you and delight in you, to die for you and to rise for you. And that's why he was born this day. And so, we begin to change because our whole person is wrapped up in Jesus Christ's person. And we become something new. One in which the love of God that has turned his face toward you and flows through you and towards two other people around you. To the difficult family members, to the stranger, to the foreigner, to people who are totally unlike you, and your face turns in love to the people who need the grace of God as much as you. The people we see in our dreams, the faces that appear as strangers, are not people we created in our head. They are the faces of actual living people who we have seen while out and about, going to the coffee shop, the grocery store, just on the streets. They are real people, and their faces leave an impression in our heads. The question, though, is, have they seen the face of God that is in Christ Jesus? Or are we still hiding behind a mask? On Christmas Day, we remember that the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us. It's the incarnation of the Son of God. We, as the church who receive the face of God here in his promises and in one another as Christians, can we be enlightened by the Spirit and be the face of God to those outside of our dreams? Can we be incarnate in the lives of our family, our friends, our community of the church, that they may see their gracious Creator working and God's loving face in Jesus Christ turn towards them in delight? For that is what we remember this Christmas day. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We continue on page 5 of our worship folder. Upon hearing the Word of God, we confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. As you are able, please stand.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We continue with our hymn. Please be seated.
Oh,
praying this Christmas day for all the people of God in Christ Jesus, for all people according to their needs. Please stand. Word made flesh, in the joyous celebration of your nativity, we have seen your glory. Your goodness and loving kindness have appeared to us. Grant us comfort and peace in the knowledge of your incarnation and a blessed new year. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Word made flesh, in your holy gospel, we have seen your glory. Bless the preaching of the gospel from the altars and pulpits you have consecrated for the purpose of delivering your gifts of faith through the preaching of your word. Bless those called to preach and those called to hear, that the light of your word may continue to illumine the darkness of our world. Abide with those who suffer persecution for confessing its truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Word made flesh, by your sacrament of holy baptism, we have seen your glory. Make all the baptized confident in the promise given to them in the waters of baptism. Grant repentance to parents who have withheld the treasures of baptism from their children. Give to all your people hearts welcoming of children. Continue to expand your kingdom through the blessed portal to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Word made flesh, in your ongoing provision of daily bread, we have seen your glory. By your Spirit, visit those who suffer, the sick, the sorrowing, the hospitalized, the poor, the destitute, the homeless, the unemployed. Remember those who have requested our intercessions, especially Major, Wayne, Sanda, Pastor Flapp, Joyce, Sharon, Sylvia, Thirza, Alex, Debbie, Bella, Ava, Esther, and Emily. Mighty Redeemer, we also pray for your people at St. Timothy who are unable to gather with us, especially for Barbara, Millie, Sylvia, Gertrude, Mary, Thirza, and Jim, and Alex. Comfort them that they might not be given into despair, but entreat their Heavenly Father's protection, even in times of great need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Word made flesh, in your Holy Supper, we have seen your glory. From your humble entry into our world in the womb of the Blessed Virgin to your first bed in the feed trough, you set aside the honor you rightly deserve to bless us with your presence. As you now come to us humbly under the forms of bread and wine, bless us with a right faith, that we might worthily receive your body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Word made flesh, we give you thanks that of your mercy and compassion you become incarnate and have redeemed us from sin and everlasting death. Enlighten our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may ever be thankful for such grace and comfort ourselves, by in it all tribulation and temptation, and at last obtain eternal salvation. Who with the Father and the Holy Spirit are one Lord, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord, our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have given us a new revelation of your glory, that seeing you in the person of your Son, we may know and love those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Not perish, but have eternal life. In the beginning, you created all things by your word. And in the fullness of time, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Let your word made flesh dwell richly among us, that, faithfully eating his body and drinking his blood, we may receive the fullness of your grace and truth in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hear us as we pray in his name and ask his thoughts.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in the remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
We sing.
Thank you. Thank you.
We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.
And the government shall be on his shoulders.
And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor.
Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
We sing our final hymn, Go Tell It on That.
Congregation here at St. Timothy, I want to wish you, that is, we all want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. And God's blessings to your family, to your mom, your dad, your sister and her family. And we're very thankful to have you as our pastor. And we are thanking God that he sent you this way to us. And we are blessed. We love you.
Oh, thank you.
So this is our Christmas gift to you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you all. Merry Christmas. I don't know what else to say other than this is amazing. Thank you so much. I hope you'll have a good Christmas day and get to celebrate it however best we can. But the thing I like about Christmas Day service, I think, is, if you can hear me, sorry, I think the thing I like about Christmas Day service is sometimes we forget that some people don't have families to be around with today, especially now with everything. So coming here to be with you all is being with my family. So in a way, I get to celebrate that way, and I appreciate it. So thank you. Merry Christmas. God bless you.